Are you a cowgirl now?
Howdy, folks. This ain't Texas. We don't hold them. This is Two Girls, One Ghost.
Two Girls, One Ghost. And we are your ghostesses / cowgirls, Corinne and Sabrina.
I'm fresh off the rodeo, the Houston rodeo. My brother moved to Houston a couple of years ago. He went to the rodeo last year and he was like, holy shit, you have to come. So this year, my whole family, we went out to go to the Houston rodeo and to see Lainey Wilson perform.
So fun. It's sad. Again, we were both in Texas, a couple cities away.
We were like 90 minutes away from each other.
Yeah. I'm still in Texas. I'm in Austin recording from a hotel room.
I know. As I was flying out, I was like, wow, all the other podcasters are flying into Texas as I'm leaving for South by Southwest.
We missed you.
That's okay. Some other time.
So tell us everything.
It was wild. The rodeo, it's such a different culture. It's so proud to be an American, proud to be a Texan in a way that's, okay, well, let me first start by saying that when we got there, there's different, like, I want to call them barns, but they're not. They're basically like huge, not stadiums, but just like, you know, when there's like, when you go to like a work conference or something and there's a bunch of booths set up and it's just like a giant warehouse.
There's
stuff like that set up. And so they have a bunch of booths, I guess, with people who are selling things. But then in the back of that very same building, there's a livestock auction-ish or like awards. So people will fluff up their cows, like they literally look like they've been blow-dried, and parade them around this like little arena to get basically best in show. Yes. Oh my gosh. And then if any of the heifers had recently had babies, the babies, they didn't want to separate the moms and their babies. So the babies would just, they weren't being judged, but like they would come and just like follow their mom around the arena. And it was so cute.
Do you have pictures? I want to see the cows.
I do. I have so, of course, I took a million pictures of the cows. But okay. So one, there was this one pregnant heifer. And I feel like she knew I was pregnant too, because they all line up and they're waiting to like do their little trot. And she literally just stared at me the whole time. And a couple times she'd like glance over to my brother or like the woman that was sitting next to me. But I feel like her and I were making a lot of eye contact. And I turned to Christian and I was like, is this cow, like, is she just staring at us? And he's like, yeah, the whole time, like deeply into our souls. And she was so cute. But the weird thing, and this is something that I did not know happens, when you show a cow, all the people showing the cows are like between the ages of 10 and 17. They're kids.
Oh, and it's then like 4-H.
What's 4-H?
You didn't have this growing up? We had like the 4-H fairs and it was like all the like farm kids. This was in Jersey. I thought it was like an East Coast thing, but people like showed their animals, their farm animals.
I guess it's all around.
And they were all kids.
Yeah, the announcers kept saying stuff about like how winning these competitions and participating in them, the kids make a lot of money to like, not a lot of money, but they like, they make money that goes to their college. So this is like, you know, one of the things that they do to try to put themselves through college. But it was bizarre because I thought we were going to go learn about the cows. So when the cow gets announced and they're being paraded around, I would have assumed they were like, this is Betsy Joe. Her favorite snacks are old apples and orange peels. She enjoys eating all of the flower beds. Like, that's what I was expecting.
Right.
But it was not. It was like,
what was it instead?
It was like, this is Susan. She comes from this farm. Here are her parents. She's a junior at this high school. She enjoys hanging out with friends and lacrosse.
So she wants to go. Were the cows showing the teenagers?
That's what it was. We got all these facts about these kids, which, number one, I'm so like stranger danger. There's so much gross stuff now with the internet and children, and it's just like horrifying. So I was one, I was like, I feel like they're telling too much information about these kids' identities.
Meanwhile, but they all have like Instagram or like public profiles and
sharing. Yeah. But it was odd because we didn't learn anything about the cows. It was strictly about the kids showing the cows.
That is strange.
Yeah.
Oh, this is kind of tangentially related, but I just finished The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because there's a creepy serial killer who stalks young girls. But it was really, really good. It was one of those books that I wanted it to be more like Broken Girls, because Broken Girls, like throughout the entire book, it was paranormal and spooky. And
you didn't know, if it was unsettling. Truly paranormal, if it was crime, like what,
Whereas this book, it had like hints of that, but it was more of like solving a mystery. And then at the end, it was so paranormal in the way that I was like, oh, fuck yeah, this is what I wanted the whole time.
Okay, I need to read that. It's I can't believe you're even reading another book. I can't pick up another book until I finish all of the ACOTAR series. But
well, because I waited to start book two until after our book club because I didn't want to spoil it. And so...
Oh, yeah, you had to wait a little bit.
I was reading The Sundown Motel and then just finished it. So now I can start book two and the rest of the series.
Okay, perfect. Okay, wait, I have to tell you some other things about the rodeo that were wild. So it's like, once you get into the arena, so you go into like the arena where the concert will be that night, and it's basically like going to a baseball game. You have an assigned seat.
I just have not seen you be this excited about anything in so long.
It is. I was like, I want to go back. I love, my first rodeo was a great experience. I cried at one point. I'll tell you which point.
Of course you did.
Okay, to start off the show, you're in an enclosed stadium and the lights go down. All of a sudden, these fireworks in the stadium start going off. And then a woman in a leotard riding a horse who's basically dressed as Carrie Underwood because this horse is so bedazzled. They sprint through the stadium and they're going so fast. And she's standing on the horse holding an American flag. And while she's doing this, the national anthem is playing. There's like people, they literally make you do like a group prayer to God. It's very interesting. And then they have like a little kid say the Pledge of Allegiance that they pre-recorded. And it's so cute. He was like 4 years old, pre-recorded, stumbling over the word indivisible.
Okay, before you tell me what part you cried at, I want to, like, after you tell me everything, I want to guess what part you cried at.
Okay. So as soon as she leaves the stadium, and they're freaking cruising this horse and her, she leaves the stadium. And then they have on the big screens, they have like the, what are they called? Like the, well, I guess there's different ones that they use, but the planes that do flyovers over the stadium, they have a pre-recorded flyover so that you feel like it's happening. The whole stadium rumbles because they make it so loud on the speakers, like as if they were actually going through.
Wow.
And then they start with an event that I think should be last because it's one of the most interesting. And it's barebacked horse riding, or like barebacked horse bucking. So the horses buck kind of like a bull, but the cowboys have to lie down on their back and there's no saddle. So they're just
Freaking. Their testicles are out?
Well, the horses are naked. The cowboys are not.
I'm kidding.
I wish they were. That would make it even more interesting.
Takes their clothes off and the whole stadium becomes a nude rodeo.
You know what? Here's why that wouldn't work beyond just the obvious. I've never in my life ever seen an event where the announcers say mean things about the people competing before the people even get to leave. Someone will be like bucked off and the announcer will like, the guy's like trying to, he's still on all fours, like trying to get himself up. And the guy's like, ooh, loser, loser. This guy's always a loser. Never seen this guy win. That was hard to watch. And I'm like, and then they zoom in on him and he goes, oh, yeah, he's not smiling. Maybe because you just bullied him in front of
also because they just
arena.
Were thrown off a horse. Here's a question, and I don't mean to bring down the mood, but like, what are the ethics of this, like, animal wise?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, I will say the events aren't very long. Like, each person, it's impressive if they get more than like 9 seconds out there because the animals win every time.
Right. Which I'm
very
glad.
It felt like the closest thing to getting to experience the Colosseum.
That's kind of the energy I'm getting.
Yeah.
That or like, what's the Spanish like running of the bulls?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like it's events like this that prove how archaic we still are and that we are truly just cavemen still.
I know. It was wild. There was a bunch of events that happened, but I think some of my favorite events were the barebacked horse bucking, the actual like cowboys on bulls, like the bull riding, which seemed so dangerous. It was very scary to watch.
Yeah.
One guy like literally almost got speared and another guy's head like just missed smacking into a metal pole. It was, we were all like, like the whole stadium. It was awful to watch. Yikes. I was like, thank God no one got injured or died here. But we did also get to see a record. This cowgirl, I can't remember her name. I think it was Macy. She set the stadium record for lassoing a baby cow as quickly as possible.
Wait, way to go, Macy.
Way to go, Macy. The lassoing baby cows is kind of hard to watch because the cows get like roped around their necks and then like thrown back.
Oh, I love that.
But it's also impressive how quickly the cowboys and cowgirls can like rope them and tie them up. And then there's there's mutton racing.
What is that? Like,
4-year-old kids get like Velcroed basically to, they like, I think they have little mitts on or something, and they try to like almost Velcro themselves onto these sheep, and then the sheep run like 20 feet and these like 4-year-olds are holding on for dear life.
Did you cry
and they're
here?
Getting dragged.
Is that where you cried?
Oh. No, I really enjoyed that one. It's so good. Oh my God, I'm going to send you a video. I'm like literally crying right now, laughing at it. And then there's another part where they bring out like all the lights go down and they brought out this horse because they're like describing kind of how all of the animals here like get to be in the competition and what it's like for like, you know, breeding and and that sort of thing. And so they bring out this horse and it's like completely dark and there's a spotlight on this one horse. It's like galloping through. I don't know how she knew what to do, but she's galloping through.
She's a performer.
Showing herself off. And then they show, they like talk about her grandparents. And then her parents, and she's galloping through. And then they're like, and now her daughter, and this little tiny horse comes galloping out after her mom. And then they talk about like the rest of the extended family. And these are horses, the rest of her extended family. And they bring out like 30 horses, and they're the only ones in the stadium, and the spotlight is on them.
That's beautiful.
And the announcer is like telling this story. Yeah. So there was a lot of stuff like that. And then the concert happened and Lainey Wilson left. She made her exit by getting on horseback and like doing some loops around the stadium and leaving because, you know, she grew up on a farm and stuff. So it was very cool. It was very cool.
Is that when you cried?
No, I cried at the horse's backstory.
Corinne, I love seeing you this enthused. It is so amazing.
Oh, my God.
Your son is going to come out with a freaking lasso.
Yeah.
And just like,
I'm ready to buy a ranch, man.
Oh, my God. Wow. What an experience.
Oh, wait. I didn't even tell you the wildest part. They showed us highlights from the poultry auction. Someone bought a turkey for $125,000. Someone tell me why. Because that wasn't explained. Is this the, like, golden turkey of breeding? Because this sure as shit looked kind of like a dirty little turkey plucked from the side of the street to me when I saw the pictures of it.
What? What was like, what were the reasons? Did they say what was so special about this turkey?
No, they were just like, this turkey went for $125,000 to so-and-so and so-and-so. And then now on to the hens. And it was like, this chicken went for $110,000 to this family. And it's like, what? How?
Wait, okay. One of my favorite stories ever is the president's turkey for Thanksgiving, like literally stays in a hotel the night before.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
This is, oh man, America can be so weird.
We're so weird. Humans are fucking strange.
Yeah. I liked it because I wasn't expecting almost, if I could have predicted what happens at a rodeo, I think I would have gotten half of it wrong. So it was really interesting.
Yes, I would not have guessed, especially the mutton racing, mitten racing, what is it called?
Mutton
racing.
I guess that's, I don't know, the name for a sheep or something.
Mm. Wow, yeah. I don't even know how to transition into today's episode because it has nothing to do with anything that you just talked about. But perhaps, I guess, like, there's wildlife here.
Great, let's go.
Transition accomplished. I'm really excited because this episode has dungeons. Death, war, mysterious rooms, and a curse.
A
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, you can. No more imagination needed. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. I have a beautiful silk skirt from them. I just got this slip dress from them. I also have towels and sheets from them.
Oh, the towels. I'm obsessed. And the best part about Quince is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they can do this because they partner directly with top factories. So they cut out the cost of the middleman. They pass these savings on to you. And they also only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which is
we love.
Amazing.
I mean, they just have every category you could ask for. They have jewelry, cotton sweaters, they have adorable kids clothing, they have home essentials.
I bought curtains.
Exactly.
So you can indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/TGOG for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/TGOG to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TGOG.
This is the tale and haunting fate of Fyvie Castle, a medieval castle that promises chills, horrors, and historical intrigue.
I am intrigued.
And I'm going to add a beautiful clip of Scottish music to get us into the mood.
Oh my God.
As this music swells in your soul, I'm going to chant the words that cursed the ground of Fyvie Castle all the many centuries ago, and has to this day stained the ground, entranced the land under a spell that can never be tarnished. Fyvie, Fyvie, thou'st never thrive. Lands there's in thee, stains three. There's an in teal the highest tower. There's an in teal the lady's bower. There's an aneath the water yeet. And there three stains ye's never geet.
Who is the traitor?
I love it. You've never seen it, but now you know.
You do Scottish accent. I know it's learned from the Traitors.
I am influenced heavily.
Very quick side tangent. My parents were wondering what they should watch. So I actually did watch a couple episodes. They watched many more than me when we were in Houston. But I was like, the host looks so familiar. What do I know him from? He's Spy Mr. Kids. Floop in Spy Kids. Yeah. I love it.
Yep, Mr. Floop. He's incredible. Like, he is that show. I watch it for him. So the words that I just spoke are the actual curse that were uttered by a man with fortune-telling prophetic abilities, apparently, some 500-plus years ago that have permanently impacted the Fyvie Castle and left it with a cursed and haunted reputation that has transcended centuries, ancestries, and oceans because it is here to us today in America.
Oh, geez.
But the tale, well, the curse isn't, but the story is.
Oh, that's okay. It.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yikes, this is
no.
Not great.
But the tale of Fyvie Castle begins far before the curse, and it brings us, we start in Scotland. It is one of the most beautiful, lush, and green places in the world. It's known for its lochs, its Highland cows. There we go. That's our connection to the rodeo.
Here we go. Cows.
Cows.
This is a cow-themed episode for all you heifers out there.
I will say, I've always liked cows. I've always thought, great. Well, actually, I've never really thought much about cows aside from like, oh, they're beautiful. You have made me think about cows far more than I've ever thought I would ever think about cows. But thank you for giving me a greater appreciation.
So.
Yes.
Makes sense that some of that's rubbing off on you.
You have influenced me.
I'm the first cow influencer.
Okay, so it's also known for its whiskey, its shortbread cookies, and for its castles. So located in the very northeast of Scotland is Aberdeenshire, a rich prehistoric and historic shire with many Neolithic and Bronze Age archaeological sites. So there's a lot of history that I'm going to kind of very briefly touch upon here. I'm just going to say this is not a history podcast. We've said it's like, what, 2% fact, 98% mystery. We don't know.
Yeah, lore.
We don't even know what's going to come out of our mouths. I wrote 13 pages for this episode, but I might go completely off script. So just to preface, I'm going to give like a very, very brief history, and I'm focusing more on brief history of the castle, keep in mind there's so much else that goes on and has gone on. There's like wars that have been fought on this land, but I'm not going to get into all of that today. Find another podcast for that.
Go somewhere else.
So this area was settled by the Beaker culture. There are stone circles and cairns that were constructed in the Bronze Age. Hill forts were built in the Iron Age. The Romans migrated and had a lot of influence on the area, and the inhabitants were influenced by Christianity and Celtic cultures. And this area played a really prominent role in Scottish history. There were a lot of fightings between the Scottish clans. And basically, to not go too far into the history, these lands have seen war, they've seen blood, and they've seen a lot of history. And in the medieval times, a grandiose castle was constructed. This is Fyvie Castle, one of Scotland's most magnificent castles. And there's a photo we'll add into the YouTube channel. There's a lot of photos if you want to see them. Highly recommend checking out the YouTube. It reminds me, like, when I was doing this research kind of right off of reading the first book of ACOTAR. And so I was really kind of imagining this as the castle in that book. It's stunning. It is
Tamlin's castle from the summer or the spring court.
It really feels like it's right out of a fairy tale. And honestly, it's strange because there's not very clear records of who actually built the castle originally.
Oh, that is weird because I feel like that sort of thing is normally all the record keeping is about like lords and kings and queens and ladies who once stepped foot in this castle for lunch.
I think because so many castles were being built that it was like, I'm not really sure. But so they believe the structure was built by William the Lion in 1211. William the Lion reigned as King of Scots from 1165 to 1214, which is the second longest reign in Scottish history, or it was at the time. There have been many expansions, additions, and the castle is stunning. It's interesting because it's built with multiple period influences because it has five towers and each tower was added by like when a new family would come in, they'd add a new tower. So based on like the construction of that time, they would try to add on to what already existed, but have the influences of that time.
Does it look weird?
No, because they're pretty similar. I think if anything, like the turrets or like small little details look different, but they're all built of stone. It's notable for the five towers, a fantasy facade, corbelled turrets, a parapet, carved dormer windows. These are all like old castle architecture terms. And I'm like, I can see them, but I don't know much.
Yeah, I don't know much.
There were north and east ranges of the castle that were lost by the mid-18th century. So now it's an L-shaped castle. There's a boathouse on the northeast bank of the loch. There's an old farm home that dates back to 1777. There are stunning courtyards, cobblestone paths, a barn, a byre, a pigsty, a wintering shed, a clock tower, a large walled garden. I mean, it is stunning. It is expansive.
Wow.
Today, now it's in the possession of the Scotland National Trust, so you can go visit the grounds and the castle.
Oh, I want to go real bad. That sounds really nice.
Okay, Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, real, now that you say I'm not going to be able to do it, real bad. No, that sounds so stupid.
When you don't try, you can do it so perfectly.
Unintentionally, some of it comes out.
There are three main drives to the castle. The main one drives up the west bank of the loch and has this like beautiful canopy of trees that bloom in the spring. It is just like, it truly is fairy tale. And it was an impenetrable fortress with towering ceilings, rambling corridors, pink walls, lavish interiors. And still to this day, it has a world famous art collection, which is kind of creepy, I have to admit. And I'm going to touch upon a couple of things that like give people the heebie-jeebies, willy-nillies, creepy toe hair growing. Basically, I put together a collection of photos of the interior, which we can like kind of slowly go through on our YouTube video as I talk about this. You may notice there's a wedding photo amongst these photos because you can get married there and it looks pretty stunning.
Beautiful.
Fyvie Castle has a total of 109 rooms. It is home to the widest turnpike staircase and houses a collection of antiques, armor, and portraits from notable artists. There's a stunning library, which apparently is like the scariest room because there's a something in there that like make people like really nauseous and give them a sense of dread.
Yikes. That's such a bummer for the library.
I know.
You know, that's the one place you want to go.
I know. Yeah, I mean, you can still go in it, but there's something in there that's going to give you the creeps. Yeah,
grab your book and scurry on to the walled garden. Read in peace over there.
There's also a gallery with a organ that takes up the entire wall.
Jeez, this is very Phantom of the Opera, very creepy. Right?
It has like everything that you've ever imagined in a castle from like a fairy tale in one castle. Okay, so William the Lion appears to be the first documented at the castle. So basically the way they tracked like people who visited was based on ship charters. So William the Lion in like a charter went to this area. So that's why they think like he was the first one potentially who built it. There is documentation that Alexander II stayed at Fiveby Castle on February 22nd, 1222. Edward I of England stepped at Fiveby Castle on July 21st, 1296. And apparently he had a plaque erected to mark his monumental sleep at Fiveby Castle.
Like just sleeping there, or did he sleep like 19 hours or something?
I think just sleeping there. I'm imagining this guy like erects like a beautifully carved stone at every place he's ever slept.
Man, you know, there's something to loving yourself that much where everything you do is a milestone. But okay, to my point, like we have record of this guy literally just getting to spend the night and have a sleepover, but don't know who.
Who built this?
Who built it?
Yeah.
That's the weird thing. Yeah.
I'm just going to start leaving plaques on places that I've slept in. Sabrina and Diana Roga slept here on the night of whatever. So strange.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., including Corinne and I? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. So whatever you're interested in, they have it for you, and they can help you find the perfect fit for your climate and space.
I am so excited because I noticed my lemon tree is starting to flower, which typically doesn't happen so quickly. Like, I was fully prepared to wait a couple more years for the tree to mature, but it is already beginning. And so I'm going to have lemons this year.
Hell yeah. I'm going to have lemons this year because you're going to have lemons this year.
Yes. And Fast Growing Trees, they make it very easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation forever.
Which is so nice because I do not have a green thumb, and I really love that I can just message them and be like, hey, my fiddle leaf fig that I got from you guys seems to be struggling. What do I need to do? And they're so helpful.
Mm-hmm. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code TGOG at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code TGOG at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code TGOG, offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
So the castle was passed down through ruling monarchs such as Robert the Bruce, and then through battles and possession disputes, the ownership of Fiveby Castle was passed on to Sir Henry Preston in 1390. And like I said, there were like five towers added. So there are five major families that have been in possession of Fiveby Castle. The Preston family, Meldrum family, Seton, Gordon, and Leith. And so the castle kind of started as like a square structure, and as each family took possession, they would build a new tower and add their mark and their permanence or legacy onto the castle. So when you look at it, there's like this blueprint and you can see like where each tower is.
Very cool.
Okay. I'm just going to give a timeline brief synopsis. The royal monarchs had possession of Fiveby Castle from 1211 to 1390. Sir Henry Preston had possession of the home from 1390 to 1433. And in 1433, Henry Preston's daughter married into the Meldrum family, who owned the home slash castle until 1596. It was then sold to Sir Alexander Seton. And by 1694, apparently Alexander Seton had like a heir who died in exile. So then Fiveby Castle was confiscated. And then it was purchased by someone named William Gordon. Basically, yada, yada, yada. The last owner was in 1885. guess how much this castle was purchased for in 1885?
30,000 coins.
A bit more. Actually, I didn't do the conversion of like what it would be in today's money, but it was 170,000 euro in 1885. Someone do the quick math. Not me. I don't even know how you would calculate that. But anyway, probably a shit ton now. That was purchased by Alexander Leith, who basically made all of his money in the steel industry in the U.S. He is kind of the one who collected all of the art in the castle. And he was like, this is going to be my own personal museum and collection. When the National Trust took over and purchased Fyvie Castle in 1984, they really wanted to maintain the castle. And so they kept a lot of the art and have really preserved the beauty and the original structure of Fyvie Castle.
That's really lovely to hear.
And today, visitors from all over the world can explore and visit and engross themselves in the history and the hauntings, because this place is fucking haunted. Insert spooky music. The tales of murder and betrayal cast a spine-chilling shadow over this 800-year-old Scottish baronial fortress, ranking it among the most haunted castles in the UK. And definitely, if not the most haunted, one of the most haunted in Scotland specifically. There are secret chambers that are never to be opened. Visitors are warned that opening it will unleash a deadly curse. There have been countless paranormal sightings. There are skeletons and at least two very active spirits, but people who work there have recorded at least nine different spirits at Fyvie Castle.
Wow.
And they've been reported by staff, public, and attendees of paranormal evenings hosted by the castle. It actually very much gives me the TV show Ghosts vibes.
Yeah, especially because there's identification for individual ghosts, not just like, oh, someone sees a lady in white and there's other antics that happen that are ghostly and maybe it's that lady or maybe it's someone else. Like, they have an identification chart, it feels like.
Exactly. And there's like a head ghost, like there's one who like keeps all the other ghosts in check. But I just want to show you a couple pieces of the art because they're a little bit strange. Okay, so this is just a creepy armor. Why is he smiling like that?
Yeah, that's very creepy.
And also the hallways are apparently really narrow, or like certain hallways are really narrow. So like there's like all these like armor kind of like,
it kind of feels like they're going to
reach out and grab you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I am curious why they would make it look smiling. Well, I guess it's a good tactic to
creep out,
try to get under the person's skin that you're about to attack.
Yeah. And then this actually really made me want to do an entire episode on Victorian hobbies, because apparently a favorite, you know, we're talking about how humans are a bit weird. The rodeo being an example of humans being strange, putting a turkey, Thanksgiving Day turkey that is about to be eaten in a hotel room is a bit odd. Well, back in the Victorian era, there was a common hobby of collecting death masks. And if you don't know what death masks are, basically...
I do not. If I had to guess, it would be dark. It would be that in the moment that someone dies, you skin their face and dehydrate it and turn it into like this leather mask.
It's pretty close. It's that, but more Museum of Wax. So they take like a cast, but it's like literally moments after someone dies, they take a cast of their face. And I think this was done a lot for murderers. I don't know if it was exclusively for murderers, but this guy, Alexander Leith, who owned the home at the end, or castle at the end, had a hobby of collecting death masks of convicted and executed murderers.
I would be scared to have that in my house. I mean, what if their spirits, the spirits of these murderers, are attached?
Well, you are spot on, Corinne, because remember that thing in the library that is really freaking creepy and ominous and makes people icky sicky? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the death mask of John Paley, or some people say John Pollock. I'm not sure, but this is a picture of it.
Oh, wow. They are pretty detailed. I don't know what I was expecting. I guess I was expecting kind of like when you go to a wax museum and you get to stick your hand in the wax and you're like, here's a casting of my hand, and it doesn't look that detailed.
It's detailed enough that you can see the rope marks around his neck from his being hanged.
Man, morbid curiosities we humans have.
Yes. So if you know of any strange Victorian hobbies like this, please let us know, because I want to do a whole episode on it. But John was a notorious hooligan, back in the 1800s and apparently was arrested for drunkenly disorder sometime. And this is in 1822. And I guess the sheriff arrested him and confiscated his pigs. And John was not happy about that. So he, trigger warning, smashed the sheriff's skull to pieces. And yes.
What?
Oh, that's so aggressive.
It went from being arrested for being drunk to becoming a murderer over pigs. So he was found guilty and hanged for murder in 1823. And following his death, immediately after being hanged, they took a cast of his face and made a death mask that Alexander Leith purchased. And now, well, now he's passed away, but housed in the library of Fyvie Castle, it remains there today. People who don't even know about the existence of this mask will start to approach the library of the castle and get nauseous and feel like a very, very dark energy and immediately be like, I can't go in here. Later, they find out that that is a common feeling that people get. And a lot of people associate it with John's death mask.
I would too, especially just because of how sudden it was and the unpredictability of him. It seems like he's just a loose cannon. And has entered the energy, whether it's a stain or an act of haunting, it's given that.
It is. I do have a lot of questions about the pig confiscation situation.
Yeah. How many pigs?
Right. And why was that like his punishment? Like, I didn't do a ton more research into him because, again, this is a long episode and I wanted to get more specifically into Fyvie hauntings and not go on tangents of another murderer. But yeah, I'm curious about the pigs. My interest is piqued. So then there is the Gray Lady, and she is one of the more notable ghostly residents of Fyvie Castle. It is the Gray Lady, who is believed to be Lady Meldrum, and this story is quite spooky. So it was sometime in the 1920s, and the family that owned the castle, I guess, in a certain room, there was a weird smell, and accompanying this weird smell was a monster fungus growing on the walls.
Yuck.
Yes. It's an old castle. There's probably some weird things left behind.
It's damp. You got to air it out.
It is damp. So they bring in some experts to take a look at it. And they basically determine that they have to like kind of redo that whole wall, that they need to take it out, remove all the fungus and rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they thought the monster fungus was going to be the weirdest thing that they experienced. But as they start doing construction, they discover something bone chilling, literally, because they discover bones, the skeletal remains of a woman. Immediately upon this discovery, hauntings start to happen.
It's like she was waiting to be unearthed.
So basically, they start to have these hauntings that they see this woman in gray. She's like wandering and she doesn't seem happy. She seems to like be now at unrest. And keep in mind, like before this, they never really saw this ghost at all. And so they're like, okay, she doesn't like the fact that we unearthed her bones or there's something up. Like, so things start going missing, lights turning on and off, you know, the very typical hauntings, an unhappy spirit. So Alexander Leith, who owned the castle at this time, suggested that they return her to the walls because I think through digging, and I don't know if they actually found records of this, but apparently they believe Lady Meldrum, when she passed away, asked her husband to bury her in the walls of the castle so that she could forever be a part of it.
Oh, okay. Interesting request.
So they did. They returned her.
I understand the logic of putting her back in the walls, although that's a little creepy. Did they put like a plaque or something there to
Maybe they have now. I don't know. It is interesting. I mean, keep in mind, like everyone who owned this castle added a tower in their own name to like like make a monument of themselves. So I do think there is this like pride and joy in the castle, like ownership and wanting to forever be a part of it. But apparently when they put her body back, the haunting stopped.
Wow. So truly this woman was like, I need to be a part of this castle. It's weird because it makes it seem like she always lingered there. Like her plan was to never leave. She didn't move on to the other side or wherever you go.
Right.
She stayed there. And so the second her body was moved, she was like, hey.
Right.
So she must be one of the ghosts. Whether she's active or not, she's creeping somewhere.
She definitely is. I feel like she's probably one of the spirits who like is just constantly watching over the castle and probably only appears if necessary.
Yeah.
because she is one of the more commonly known spirits, so I do believe that means she probably does appear more than just that one time. So not all hauntings ceased after her body was returned, because there are many other spirits. But one of the most prominent, and actually the most well-known spirit, is that of the Green Lady. This story varies quite a bit from source to source, and I tried my best to find the version that was the most common. There is one version that I will share, because it's like a spooky tale and very medieval and horrific, but I think it is lore. I think it is like the most like fictional part of this story. Trigger warning, this story has themes of death, suicidal ideation, and murder, but the Green Lady is thought to be the spirit of Dame Lilias Drummond. She was married to Sir Alexander Seton, and the two resided in Fyvie Castle, making it their home from 1390 to 1433. Well, that's when at least Alexander owned it, because sadly, Lilias did not live that long. So on all fronts, they appeared happy. The two of them lived in the castle, and they had five children, five girls. But Alexander was bearing one horrible resentment. Despite having these five children, none of them were male, meaning he didn't have an heir.
Well, that's on you, boy. XY chromosome, it's on you.
It is, but it's also part of the curse.
But they didn't know. They didn't
because
know.
Yeah. Apparently the curse that was put on the castle, and I'm going to get more into it in a little bit, but the curse basically cursed anyone who ever lived in Fyvie Castle that Fyvie Castle would never have a male heir.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's true?
And it is true.
Well, you'll get... Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
There never was, but is it the curse or was it just... I don't know. Anyway, Alexander longed for a son, as so many men did and do, and especially when it came to like passing on your legacy and all that stuff back in the day. So because his wife, Lilias, did not give him an heir, as he said, Alexander's attentions, affections, and erections turned towards her cousin.
That's my favorite line you've ever written. Attentions, affections, and directions turned
to another lady.
Oh my God. Wow, that was good.
Thank you. I thought you would like that one.
That's going to be in our show notes for sure. I'm using that in the description.
His attentions, affections, and erections turned towards Lilias's cousin, Grizel Leslie. And so here's where the stories deviate. I'm going to read the like more outrageous iteration of it and then what I believe is actually what happened. So there is one version that says that Alexander Seton trapped Lilias in a room, held her captive in what is the chartered room to punish her. And there was like a rescue attempt by her family, but then it failed. Yeah, and poor Lilias like was stuck in the room watching family members be murdered. And this is like the horrific medieval, like very Vlad the Impaler version of it, where apparently, I'm going to read this as a quote. Lilias was forced to watch her family members being killed and their body parts being flung past the window in the room in which she was held.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine. All because she put herself through childbirth, what, five times?
Five times. At least that we know of,
Jesus Christ. This is horrible. This feels like a grim fairy tale.
It does. And I know that there are a lot of like medieval practices and like grotesque practices and things that occurred in history, but this one feels a little bit far-fetched. And this was only in like one article, and then everything else kind of seemed to follow this more regarded version of the story, is that when she found out about this affair, she locked herself in the chartered room and was so heartbroken that she couldn't eat, that she couldn't do anything, and she fell ill and died in the room and in this castle. Apparently, there's a blood stain forever on the floor of the room that she died. Despite washing it countless times, it always returns, and today it is covered up by a carpet. But not long after her death, Sir Alexander Seton remarried, and on their wedding night, Alexander and Grizel were awoken by ghostly wails and horrible screams. There was banging on their chamber doors. There was scratching at the window. And I mean, they were horrified, but they were like, it must be a terrible storm. The next morning, upon opening their window, they found something scratched into the stone. D. Lilias Drummond. You can still see it to this day.
I have chills.
And there's a photo. And it's like large. It's not like a, I took a stick and I etched this into like something. It looks very professionally chiseled into stone.
Mm. Do they know who did it?
They don't. And they believe it's her spirit who did it. Right. But
yeah. I was curious if it like became solved or something. That
no.
Maybe she took someone over. Maybe it was like an automatic That's writing true. Situation where she possessed someone for a period of time and chiseled it through
They
them.
Could have. I think it's one of those things where the story is horrific either way, and they want to honor the power of this woman. So even if they do know who actually did it, they're like, no, it was her. It was her. It was her spirit.
Mm.
This episode of Two Girls, One Ghost is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially, listen, it's summer is approaching, it's spring, people want to be outside more. It's really easy to overextend yourself and forget to recharge. So I'm really, really grateful that I have BetterHelp and we've been using it for years, that I can meet with my therapist and touch base and just reconnect with ways to ground myself.
Totally. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So if you're going on a family vacation or if you just need to check in with your therapist in between classes, you can do that because of how flexible it is. And if you'd like to sign up, you can go online, fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge so that you can really find someone who is best suited for you.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/TGOG today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TGOG.
You may also catch a glimpse of her spirit because she is the most commonly seen spirit at Five E Castle. She is said to be wearing a green gown. She roams the castle. She's accompanied by a rose scent, which is lovely. And she is said to be the head ghost. So she's the one who keeps other spirits in check. And there was one seance that she communicated with the medium, and this was their conversation. The medium asked, "Do you want to hurt us?" She responded, "No."
Okay, that's a good start.
The medium then asked, "Does anyone here want to hurt us?" To which she responded, "Yes." So Lilias Drummond advised the guests and the mediums at the seance that there was another ghost in the castle that was malicious and is the only harmful ghost there. And it was the ghost of John Palais, the murderer, the death mask.
What if she wasn't referring to him? What if she meant there was someone in the room who wished harm? What if there was another killer, a murder mystery about to happen that she was trying to warn them of?
Someone among the seance was a murderer?
Yeah. Wait, that would be a good plot. Let's write that.
Okay.
Where it's like, you think it's a ghost.
But it's actually the murderers among you.
Yeah, everyone forget this, okay?
We have record of it. We called it.
TM. But then forget and act surprised when you see the twist at the end.
The amount of ideas that we have, I think people would be surprised. But I think the surprise would be when it happens, if we ever accomplish
if we
it.
Ever did
That's one. The surprise. In July of 2002, there was a visitor from Australia who saw Lilias in a dressing room off of what is the Gordon bedroom. So apparently this room specifically, a lot of guides complain of like feeling watched and seen. And this visitor saw her spirit. So perhaps she's watching people from this room. There was a staff member who was cleaning castle armor and someone bumped into her. And so she was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And moved out of the way, and a woman in a green gown went past her. And then the staff member was like confused, like, who's wearing a green gown? Like, that's confusing.
Yeah.
She turns to look and watches her dissipate.
That is so cool to like actually watch and have it confirmed in front of you.
Yeah.
Just shh. Turns to shimmer.
Bye. Another visitor was somewhat taken aback when she saw a woman gazing at her through the reflection in a mirror. So basically, this woman's looking into the mirror and all of a sudden another face appears and is like looking back at her.
That's very scary. What do you think would be more scary? Is if your face turns into the ghost's face or if another face just appears behind you or next to you?
My face for sure morphing would be scarier. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be as startled as quickly with my face. I'd be confused, but it would be like a boiling horror, you know?
I think what would be scarier, kind of like a vampire, or what was the movie, Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire, where they're at dinner and he doesn't have a reflection. Like, standing next to someone and their image not appearing in a mirror would be scarier than all of those.
Or you take a picture and they're not there.
Horrifying. Yeah. Okay, so there's two more spirits that are commonly seen. There's Annie, who's a little ghost girl. And this is cute. So there's no record of Annie ever, like a little child Annie ever living in the castle. So people don't really know who she is. But she's like always there. She's running around. She likes to play on the stairs. She loves interacting with visitors. And apparently during one communication with a medium, she said she loves that people come to visit because it gives her people to play with.
That is so sweet.
Yeah.
That makes me very confident that it is a child's ghost too, you know, compared to like what we normally scream, which is demon.
What you normally scream?
We. There's no I in my life. I always say we.
That's true. We are. We are one.
But yeah. Oh, that makes me sad for her and also happy for her at the same time that she is getting.
She has company. Yeah.
She has some company and that she's able to express what does make her happy.
Yes. It is interesting. So there is a family, the Stockley family, and Stuart Stockley is the gardener of Fyvie Castle. They, at the time this article was written, it was like on The Sun, and it was written during the pandemic. So it was written in 2020. At that time, he and his family had been living on the property for 8 years. And when the pandemic happened, the National Trust shut down the castle. So Stuart and his family, and I think it was like his 13-year-old daughter, Eloise, his 16-year-old son, Harry, and his wife, Deborah, were now like the only ones at the castle, whereas usually there's visitors coming. They were there alone. And they said all of the hauntings ramped up exponentially because like Annie, maybe who's a ghost who like gets preoccupied and gets all her energy out with visitors, didn't have all these people to like play with. So this poor family, it's very like The Shining, just was inundated with hauntings and paranormal activity. Yeah.
It's so funny. It's so innocent, but it makes me think of, you know, when people, like with your dog, where you take them for a walk before people come over because you're trying to get their energy out.
Tucker them out, yeah.
Yeah. Aw, that's very cute.
And so for like 2 years, this family is just like experiencing excess hauntings. And they're like, well, we knew the ghosts were here, but my goodness, we never experienced them like this. Mm-hmm. But it was all positive. I mean, granted, you know, hauntings are never like, unless like you're actively trying to communicate with them. Sometimes they're not always wanted, but it was just them and the ghosts. They had their little like pod. Their pandemic pod was the ghosts and this family. The last spirit, just like the name itself, reminds me of the show Ghosts because he is the phantom trumpeter. So there is a phantom trumpeter, meaning that there is a ghost who plays his trumpet, and they believe it is the spirit of Andrew Lammy, who died of a broken heart.
Oh.
But he plays his sad trumpeting tune.
I was going to say, is it sad songs only that he plays then?
I think
Heartbreak
so.
Heartbreak trumpet songs?
I think he's sad boy energy.
Poor guy.
But occasionally he'll be seen like leaning against the castle walls, apparently in a very luxurious tartan, like his outfit is like on point. But when approached, he disappears.
It's an interesting move, choosing to play the trumpet in your afterlife.
It is. But maybe that was his passion, and who are we to judge?
Yeah. But it is loud. So you would also think that, you know, he's in some ways, I get it. Maybe he just wants to express himself. But in other ways, I'm like, are you wanting some attention and to bring, you know, people to you? And if so, why are you disappearing?
Right. Well, maybe he doesn't have control of that. Maybe he's just trying to hang out and he's not necessarily trying to get attention. And all of a sudden people are like, oh, who's this? I want to go talk to you. And he's like, I didn't come here for you. I was just enjoying the grounds.
Do people actually see him with his trumpet?
I don't know.
Because another thing, I was like, what if he just gets announced, like his presence in the paranormal? Or what if his curse is that every time he tries to cry or yell out for help, just trumpet noises come from his mouth?
So sad. I was picturing like the scene in Princess Diaries where when anyone arrives, they announce, or no, not Princess Diaries, What a Girl Wants, the Amanda Bynes one, where they like descend the stairs, but there's a man who like shouts their name and announces their entrance.
I don't even remember that.
Anyway, speaking of curses, Corinne, he might not be cursed, But the castle is not by one curse, but by two curses.
Two curses?
Two infamous curses.
I didn't know
curses.
You could layer them like that.
Oh, yeah. The double-decker of cursing at the Five-E Castle. So the first one, there's not a ton of information again, similar to like how the castle was built. No one really knows like the origin of this curse, but the effects of the curse have been documented. So in the charter room, there is said to be a secret chamber hidden beneath the floors of this room that has been sealed off and should never, ever be opened. The curse placed on this is that anyone who opens this chamber, it says anyone who opens the dungeon shall meet death and their wife shall become blind, which is
so
specific.
Seems unfair. It's like, why? Your wife didn't choose to open it.
I know.
How about you be blind?
Well, they die. So
still, let's direct all our energy at the one person who's making the choice, not someone who's just there.
I agree. It feels unfair, but
it does.
Again, I don't know the origin of it, but the warning has been taken very seriously. Well, except for by two people, apparently. So as legend goes, there were two men who ignored the warnings and pried open the door. Both men died.
Did they have wives?
One of their wives went blind and the other wife had vision problems from there on for the rest of their lives.
Oh, gosh. Because I guess I do understand the side of the curse where it's like, maybe you're willing to press the button for yourself, you know, like take the risk yourself. But then if there's a repercussion for someone else that you love, you're less likely to do it.
That's not fair.
Could someone who doesn't have a wife do this? Well, I guess they would die still, but.
Yeah. The thing is, there's no way for you to try anymore because the National Trust of Scotland has like really been diligent and they have made sure that no one can ever access or even try to open this secret dungeon chamber.
See, magic is real. The paranormal is real.
It is.
The government has to get involved sometimes in all of these organizations to stop us from unleashing curses.
Stop us from hurting ourselves. The second curse is the one that I uttered at the very beginning of this episode. I'm going to just say it once more. Fivey, Fivey, thou'st never thrive. Lands.
You're so good at it.
Lands, there's in thee stains three. There's an in teal the highest tower. There's an in teal the lady's bower. There's an aneath the water yet. And there three stains ye's never get.
I feel like I'm in an episode of Outlander.
That or Traitors. Or you just travel through time and now you're being cursed by Thomas the Rhymer because... That's right. Thomas the Rhymer was a man invited to the castle. And unfortunately, he was never able to make it. It never coordinated well with his plans. His calendar was very busy. But finally, one day, he decided, you know what? I am going to take them up on this offer to stay at the castle. And he made his way to Five-E Castle. And he traversed quite a lot of land. But when he arrived, there was a terrible storm that caused the gates to the castle to get stuck in the mud. And so they couldn't let him in. And Thomas was pissed. He was like, I feel like you invited me to your party and then locked me out.
Question. Was Thomas the Rhymer, was that like his nickname?
I think that was his nickname.
In life? Okay. Wow. He feels kind of like the OG rapper, you know, like Thomas the Rapper, Thomas the Rhymer. Was he the musical guest?
I didn't do a ton of research into him because, again, I was focusing more on the castle. But there was like an indication that he was a prophetic man too. Like he was able to tell the future. And so maybe this was his stage name. But he was mad and he was pissed off. He was like, throwing a fit, hands on hips, kicked a stone and spoke the words of the curse. And if you look at the curse, it basically is saying that there are three stones and you shall never find them. And because you'll never find them, there will never be an heir to the castle. So there's a legend that I guess was well known that when Five-E Castle was built, they had to remove stones from a chapel. They basically like destroyed a chapel, demolished something holy to build the castle and used some of those stones to build the castle. And then another one fell into the waters. So there are now three stones.
How would you ever know what stone it is? You know, there's so many stones. It's a stone castle.
Right. So in the rhyme, it says there's three stones. One is in the highest tower. One is in the lady's bower. Another is beneath the water. And the three stones you'll never get. So it is believed that because they can never find the stone that was lost to the water, the curse will never be lifted. Mm. And therefore, the castle would never have a firstborn heir. And apparently, according to what I've read, everyone who inherited or occupied the castle failed to have a male heir, or if they had a male heir, something went wrong and they never inherited the castle.
Wow. You know, while I'm not a fan of curses, I do enjoy a curse that there's a riddle wrapped around it. Because right. I feel like a curse to just have a curse where it's like, oh, there's nothing, there's no chance of ever undoing this curse, or it just feels very like direct. It's less fun. You know?
I agree.
There's something a little whimsical to having having the adventure begin with a riddle.
I agree with that. Riddles make things a little less ominous. And
yeah,
at least this one's not like killing anyone and striking anyone blind, you know, whereas the other curse, right. which we don't know the origin of, is like harmful. This one's just like,
girl party.
Aye.
You only have ladies, which, I mean, that's doesn't feel like a curse at all.
No, that's like the best. Women run the castle.
Yeah, it's like the Barbie movie. We're just making it in Scotland.
But yeah, that's Fyvie Castle in Aberdeenshire, Scotland. And it is incredibly haunted. You can visit it. It is open. I mean, I don't know the specific dates and times, but it is open. I do believe that they sometimes hold special events like seances, and you can do like paranormal investigations to it. It was on the show Most Haunted. I think it's a British paranormal investigative show. But yeah, it's incredibly haunted.
I would go there. I would.
Me too.
I'm curious, when you choose to be wed at Fyvie Castle, what comes with it? Like, do you stay? Is it you and 40 guests that stay here at the castle?
I don't think it's a stay the night.
Okay, not a stay the night. Because that would be the spookiest wedding ever.
I know. There are plenty of Airbnb castles that you can do that, though.
Wow. That would be awesome. What a retreat.
I know.
Perhaps our little ghost hunting clan that we're creating should go.
You know what makes me really sad, actually? So I was looking at the Airbnb castles because naturally that's what one does in their spare time. Also, I was looking at like places to stay in the summer. And it is super upsetting because a lot of these castles, while the exterior has been maintained, the interiors have been renovated and look so modern. And it just completely destroys the charm.
If you choose a castle, you want the outside to be the inside too.
I know. I want the organ. I want the whole wall to be the organ.
Right. Yeah. You want it to be spooky and heavy drapes.
I want to descend into madness. And then all of a sudden, like through the hills in the town, the organ is like echoing through. And they're like, oh, that girl went mad at the castle. And then I die there and I become a ghost. And
truly,
I perpetuate the beauty and horrors of castles.
And then I go and I investigate your death and I'm like, oh, you know what? It was mold poisoning because she never opened the windows here and it is dank.
It is damp and dank. And then you hold a seance and you ask if there's anyone who wants to hurt you. And then the twist is there's a murderer amongst the seance group.
And it's also me. And I murder the mold with my disinfectant bottle.
It's you and the cows and my ghost at the castle.
That would actually be really fun.
It would be fun. That'd be a great time. Yeah.
I would always know where to find you. The library.
And I would always know where to find you.
The cows.
Technically, I already know always where to find you because we follow each other's locations.
That's true. I know. I was walking through the mall the other day when I was in Houston with my family and I had separated from them and then they found me and I was like, how the hell did they track me down? And then I was like, oh, wait, my brother's literally just following my blue dot.
She's this way.
Finding me. I'm like, God, how did they track me? Like bloodhounds. I need some alone time.
I can smell her.
Nope. You can't hide when you share your location.
No, you cannot.
Spring is here, and while some of us are doing spring cleaning with our new open spaces, we're like, hey, out with the old, in with the new, what else can I get here? Let me tell you, don't splurge on anything new without getting cash back in return. Use Ibotta. I have been using it for almost 4 years now. Mm-hmm. It's a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure that you're beating inflation no matter what you're purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year, and they really do make it super easy. So for example, I've linked my CVS account with Ibotta. So when I shop there and I use my CVS account code, it just does the work for me.
Yeah, with Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you can get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. So you can use your earnings to cover the cost of an entire shopping trip. I don't know, that dress you've been eyeing, that trip you want to go on, that dinner you wanted to go to. You can treat yourself with money you've earned back. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code TGOG when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code TGOG. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code TGOG.
Okay, I have two listener stories.
Ooh.
And they're both relatively short, which is why I chose to read two.
Double decker, it's two curses, two stories.
That's right. It's the twin episode. Okay, the first one is from Lauren. It's called Strange Sights and Signs. Hi, ladies. I've been listening to the podcast for about 6 months now, and I decided it was time to share my experiences that have stuck with me most. I am from a reasonably small town in Scotland, most of the town itself being built in the 40s and 50s. However, the area has been lived in since the Neolithic and Early Bronze Age.
Kind of like Aberdeenshire, which I guess is a lot of Scotland.
I've never been to Scotland. I want to go so bad.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Growing up, I lived near a massive glen, which is a very wooded valley. It had a river running through it with a couple of gorgeous waterfalls. It was all the children's favorite place to play, in an area for the teens to hang out and do, you know, teenage things. Camping, drinking, bonfires. There's also the ruins of a 15th century castle hidden among the trees, as well as the castle's mausoleum. No bodies or remains in the graves, because they were removed by the local council decades ago.
You know what I like to imagine? That, like, from the outside to our human eyes, it looks like it's decrepit and decaying. But if you, like, step through this, like, little, like, charmed portal, it actually is still fully functioning and beautiful.
Operating and beautiful. Yes. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. This is, it's literally, I know it's a YA book, but I loved the series, Miss Peregrine's School for Peculiar Children. That's essentially what they did in it. They would have these, like, time bubbles where everything, you know, it might look like ruins to you, but if you got through. Right.
Hiding in plain sight.
Everything was thriving. Mm-hmm. Yes. So the graves were removed by local council decades ago. Not sure what happened to them. Anyway, my first story is in this location. Me and my friend had been exploring most of the day when we were trying to get back home. We were very lost. We had crossed a bridge at one point and we couldn't find it to get back across the water. And I noticed what I thought was a man standing far away amongst the trees. I never said anything at first, but then I looked at my friend and I whispered, "Is that a man?" And she almost looked relieved that I had noticed too. And she said, "Yeah, what the fuck is he doing over there?"
Weird.
It wasn't uncommon to see dog walkers every so often, but we had wandered really deep into the trees and it looked like he was wearing a black suit and a black top hat. He wasn't moving at all. He was just standing with his back to us. He was in the direction that we needed to go to get home. However, we decided to just walk the opposite direction. Hope we find a different trail leading us out of the woods. We start walking away and we glance back and nothing is there. We stand for 2 minutes. No movement, no sign of this man. And so then we walk back in that direction that we had seen him. And the only weird thing about the area was that the spot that he was standing in was a burnt tree stump. It was completely black and there was no grass growing around it. We continued on our original path home without seeing anything else strange that day.
That makes me wonder if, like, some type of energy portal occurs when, like, a tree dies, you know?
Yeah.
Ah, that's so weird.
Or if, like, the spirit of the tree can manifest in a certain way.
I am glad it disappeared, though, because, and it wasn't a real human, because that's horrifying. That's out of a horror movie. Just a man standing with his back to you.
Even if it's a ghost, just, like, deep in the woods, yeah, it's creepy.
Don't like that. It is.
Trying to disorient you, maybe. Although he was kind of showing you the way back.
Sure. Wood spirits, though, like, I don't know. There's just something ominous about
tricksters.
Yeah.
My second experience is ongoing because I currently live with my boyfriend in a one-bedroom apartment. In the past couple of months, there's been some strange signs. The first thing I noticed was the words, "I'm sorry," written into the hallway radiator. When I had first seen it, I went straight to my boyfriend and I asked him, what the fuck did he do? And he obviously denied knowing anything. And I was thinking maybe he was drunk one night and he doesn't remember. Not that that would be a thing that he would do, but I had no other explanation.
It was etched in? Like scratched in?
Or written into the hallway radiator. Yeah. We don't invite people over, so nobody else could have done it. Then a couple months later, I was cleaning the kitchen and I noticed the word "hi" scratched into the side of the fridge. I asked my boyfriend again and he had no clue. This was when I really started to get freaked out. The next couple things started happening really close together. The next thing I noticed, there were scratches in the bathtub. This really pissed me off as we rent the apartment, so this means we might not get our deposit back. The next incident happened a couple of days after. I was sitting watching TV when all of the electricity in the flat switched off for 2 seconds, and then it came back on again. This happened 3 times in the space of an hour, and my boyfriend was out working late, and by the time he came back, it had stopped, and we never had problems since. I know that this last one could have really been an electrical issue, but it's just so strange that it happened along with all the other weird stuff. I've lived here for over 1.5 years, and I never had any problems, and it's only been the past 4-ish months that this has been going on. Thank you for everything. Stay spooky, Lauren.
I wonder, Lauren, if like you went somewhere and brought home a ghost, and also clearly this ghost wants to communicate and doesn't sound like scary. I wonder if we can find like something else, like a, I'm trying to think like a piece of styrofoam or something that they can like scratch your messages into.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have images. So here's the radiator and we'll put these in the YouTube video. And then the "hi" really does look like it's scratched in. This looks like, you know, what you would do to a table, a desk in middle school where you're just like bored and you're using your protractor in math class. Just
sketch it in.
Fuck up the table.
That's true. But I'm curious what they're sorry about. Is it like, sorry that I'm about to haunt you?
I don't know. It is so strange.
Also, I want to see pictures of the castle. Are there pictures of that?
Oh, yes. I also want to see pictures of this castle because we didn't get the name of it. We just know that it was in ruins.
This is so strange. Wait, the photo, sorry, just real quick, I'm looking at it. It says, it's, I'm sorry if.
Yeah, what is the, what's the
It's
last
like their
part?
Message if was what? Interrupted. I don't know.
That is creepy.
Lauren, keep us updated. Dun, dun, dun.
Quite ongoing if they haven't been able to apologize for their full message.
Truly.
Is it they're sorry about something they're about to do?
I'm sorry if I kill you.
Hopefully not that.
Yeah, sorry, Lauren. Take it back. Sorry if I have invasive thoughts.
And then we have an email from our listener, Rachel, who sent us a lot of stories. So I'm going to read all of the stories in a different episode, but there is one piece that has to do with a Scottish castle.
Oh, okay.
For our honeymoon, my husband and I went to Ireland and Scotland. One of the rooms on our last night in Scotland was in a dungeon of a castle. Let's just say it was really hard to sleep in a place where there was so much torture. Also, it's even harder to sleep when a redheaded, kilt-wearing Scotsman keeps staring at you like he wants to jump your bones. Kid you not, pretty sure I had a ghostly admirer that night.
I was going to ask, jump your bones like sexually or aggressively? Sounds sexual.
I think sexual. I still haven't decided if I should be flattered. Also, on our honeymoon, we visited the Battle of, I'm going to butcher this, Culloden Battlefield.
Oh, that's in Outlander.
Oh, it is?
I think so.
The sun was setting and the museum was closed, but we walked around the battlefield. At one point, my husband went back to the spot to take a picture and didn't know that I was sensitive to certain spiritual things yet. I love how they're already married and they're on their honeymoon and Rachel still hasn't been like, so sometimes I feel the dead.
Now that you're married to me, I can tell you this fact about myself.
Rachel, now you can do your That's So Raven stare off into the distance and really freak him out.
I love it.
So while he was off taking a picture, I was watching a kid no more than 22 in a kilt wave at me before taking off into a field only to disappear a few steps later. There was also a creepy cottage. See you on the other side, Rachel.
I'm curious if Rachel you're going to read more of Rachel's story. So I'm curious if Rachel just like,
there's a lot.
Generally everywhere sees spirits, or if being in Scotland and Ireland really like brought something out and if there's some type of connection ancestrally or if it's just like,
oh, that's interesting.
The Scots have a crush on Rachel.
Well, maybe. I feel like, I mean, not to give away her other stories because I'm going to read them, but it does seem like Rachel just experiences so much.
Rachel's
like,
just spooky.
There's toys, there's familial hauntings, there's random maybe accidents. Like there's so much that does occur around Rachel with the spirit realm. But
so Rachel's just a spooky bitch.
I think Rachel's just a hottie in Scotland, you know? And so
both
all
can
the
be
boys
true.
With their kilts are like, woo, look at this lady.
Rachel.
They want to climb you like a tree, Rachel. They want to flash you what's under their kilt because they don't wear any underwear.
They want to turn their affection, attention, and erection towards you. I'm telling you.
Man.
Wordplay. It's my foreplay. I love it. Well, this was fun. I love castle episodes because especially European castles, they're so, I don't know, they just like give you fairy tale medieval like torture vibes, which why do I like that? I don't know. Something is wrong with me, but maybe it's a past life and I'm connected to Anne Boleyn. But if you have castle stories, we want to hear them. Please email them to twogirlsoneghostpodcast@gmail.com and get lost in the pyramid scheme. Get lost, get sucked. And get lost in the triangle. We have so many different like little phrases about this that I always mix them all up. But get sucked into the pyramid scheme.
Into the pyramid scheme.
Get lost in the triangle. There we go.
Abduct your friends.
Yes. And basically it's an MLM. Tell two people and then have them tell two people. And then all of a sudden we take over the world. And that's how it works.
Yeah. We're building the paranormal community.
Yeah.
Paranormal enthusiasts. And it's oh so fun. So tell everybody, email us your ghost stories. You can watch us on YouTube. You can rate and review us wherever you listen. That is immensely helpful, even though it seems like it wouldn't be.
It is.
So do it for us and for all the podcasts that you love, because it will help all of us out. And you can follow us on all of our social medias and join us on Patreon, because you get an extra episode every single month over there, and you get ad-free 1 week early content. All of our episodes are dropped 1 week and ad-free early. We go live every Tuesday to bring you guys on stage to tell your ghost stories live with us. We have book club. So many good things. Oh, wait, what's the book again that we're reading?
September House.
September House.
Yes, we are reading that, and we'll discuss it probably in May, right before, Corinne, you go on to maternity leave. So
mid to end of May. So
yes.
Get it. Read it quick.
Let me look up what the author's name is. It's September House by Carissa Orlando.
Perfect.
Yes.
And if you were on our last book club where we read A Court of Thorns and Roses, we will every month or two be posting about the next book so that we can have just ongoing discussions about that series as well.
Mm-hmm. We love you all so much. Oh, thank you to Jamie Ryan, who edits and produces our podcast, our audio, and our video. We're very grateful for all of the work that she does for us. And thank you to all of you for listening. We love you all so much.
And we will see you on the other side.